Zimbabwe took a turn for the better last month when its longtime president, blamed by many for driving the country into the ground, finally agreed to share power. In bringing the opposition into the government, President Robert Mugabe bowed to international pressure. Mugabe has yet to institute any of the United Nations demands for, among other things, a commitment to the rule of law and human rights. Still, there is some hope for a population devastated by hyperinflation, joblessness, and disease. James McGee is America's ambassador to Zimbabwe. He's closely watching the changes there now that Morgan Tsvangirai, who heads the Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, or MDC, is the country's prime minister. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Renee.
Now, getting to this new unity government was a very long and sometimes deadly process for the opposition, at least. How much confidence do you have in it?
We think that this new unity government is one that just has to be there. We did not see much option. You know, this is a government that had to take place. And as Morgan himself said to me, I'm in this for the duration. No matter what happens, we're going to see this through to the end.
Are there examples of real power sharing that you could tell us about?
Examples of real power sharing are few and far between. We have MDC people who have taken over ministries and are doing an extremely good job. And I think Tendai Biti, especially with the Ministry of Finance, is moving ahead, getting revenue streams back in place.
Now, this Minister of Finance that you're speaking of, again, he was a longtime leader of the opposition when it was still in opposition. Rather unusually, he joined with President Mugabe a few days ago to urge the international community to now turn around and really donate to the country. I think the number they were asking for was $5 billion, saying essentially the country would collapse without it.
Well, I think if you carefully look at the statements, President Mugabe was saying, give us $5 billion and we'll do with it as we see fit.
Right.
And that's what's scary.
Yes.
What Tendai Biti was saying was this country needs $5 billion investment long term, and we will look at the conditions that the international community is willing to place on the receipt of this money.
Well, what would, say, the now former opposition, now part of this government, what would they do with the money that would be looked on with favor by the international community, and how would they manage to get them to agree to that?
Well, the first thing that this government needs to do is meet the principles that were established in The Hague, the five principles. And until we see better movement towards these five principles, we are not going to open up the economic pipeline as far as development assistance is concerned.
And what about the other bigger issues, the sorts of political repression that has taken place under Robert Mugabe? Any of that need to be resolved before the international community will help Zimbabwe out?
Absolutely. You know, as we speak right now, Renee, there are still farm invasions that are going on in Zimbabwe. There are human rights activists who have gone missing over the last several months, and no one knows where these people are. And we've had some very, very high-level, important names released from prisons, but there are still other activists who are still in prison on nothing more than trumped-up political charges.
So even with this unity government, the international community is not really going to help Zimbabwe that much?
It depends on what you determine as help. As far as I'm concerned, we're helping Zimbabwe tremendously. The United States alone has put over $230 million in assistance to Zimbabwe over the 15 months that I've been ambassador in that country. That's a lot of money going into a country the size of Zimbabwe.
James McGee is U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe. Thank you very much for joining us.
Renee, my pleasure.